Your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, a little bit different today. The message is kind of wants to, I want to just kind of give you a little bit of a testimony. I thought about the fact that there's so much to be thankful for, and so I just want to share some things today that I'm thankful for, and we all ought to be thankful for as we serve the Lord and as we're called by Him to do what He'd have us to do. But the Scripture is very plain in telling us what we need to do as far as the thankfulness in our life. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me begin reading in verse number 14. He said, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Father, Lord, as we come today, we are grateful and thankful for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning to share and to think about, Lord, all we have to be thankful for. Realizing today, it's just a blessing to be able to be in the house of God. What a blessing it was to see Brother Ronald here. And Lord, I know he's glad to be here today. And I know that we're all glad to be here and realize that there's could have been reasons we may have not could have been here. But I pray today that you might help me as I preach, and Lord, that you might encourage our heart as we look into the Word of God. And I pray that your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Oftentimes, we make the holidays a big to-do, and we make it a big to-do about literally nothing when we ought to be making it a big to-do about the real reason that we have Thanksgiving. I think for the child of God, there's only one reason to have Thanksgiving, and that's to thank God for His blessings upon our life. You know, today it was by His strength that you got out of bed this morning. It's by His strength that you were able to come to the house of God, and we ought to be grateful for that and understand it. I'm not against turkey. I like turkey. I'm not against dressing. Don't like it quite as much, and I know you think I'm crazy for that, but I like it a little bit. And that's good. All those things are good. Not putting that down at all. But let's not neglect the responsibility of what Thanksgiving is really all about. Thanksgiving is thanking God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. In verse 18, that's where we'll take our text from today. I want to read the other verses. I feel they're of great importance. But the Bible said in verse 18, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, the first thing I notice about that passage, he said, it's the will of God that we be thankful. So if you're not thankful, guess what? You're not in the will of God. Now, I know you said, "Preacher, that sounds pretty harsh to me." But I want to say that the Bible tells us that in everything we're to give thanks. And you say, "Well, preacher, there's some things I just can't give thanks for." Well, you ought to be able to, because he said in everything, give thanks unto God. That means when it's good, give thanks. When it's bad, give thanks. When we're up, give thanks. When we're down, give thanks. When things are right, when things are wrong, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. I know today we listened to that and we said that just don't sound reasonable. But I believe today that we need to understand that this is the will of God. And today if we want to be in the will of God, there are certain things we have to do to be in the will of God. And one of them, according to the Scripture, is to give thanks. We are to be thankful, the Bible said, Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called unto one body, and be ye thankful." Now, when I get through today, you're going to understand the Bible is full of places that it tells us to be thankful. Here we see, not only is the will of God connected with being thankful, But the peace of God is connected with being thankful. In other words, if you're not thankful, then I wonder if you're at the peace that you need in your life, peace with others, peace with God. And he said, we see it's connected. Thankfulness is connected to the peace of God. Now, the Bible commands us to give thanks. So anytime the Bible commands us to do something, we're obligated to do it, right? We have no choice. And if we don't do it, then there's consequences and obligations. I know it's a little lengthy, but let me give them to you quickly. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 92, verse 1, a psalm of song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High. In Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. In Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 118, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now you said you've repeated that verse several times. No, I've repeated different verses in different places, but many of them say the same thing. In Psalm 118, verse 29, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 136, verse 1, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. In verse 2, O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. In Psalm 136, verse 26, O give thanks unto the Lord of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you get the point? I think God commands us to be thankful. I think that we need to understand today that we ought to be grateful for what God has done. Now, with that in mind, I'd like to just elaborate on a few things this morning that I'm thankful for. And I know today, if we were to ask for testimonies, probably my first point would be one that everybody would mention as they start out. And so it probably would not be nothing new, and I would be disappointed if it's not the first thing you would say. But the first thing I want you to notice with me today is I'm thankful for my salvation. I tell you today, you said, well, preacher, that's just general. We all are thankful for that. Well, yeah, but you know what? We ought to talk about it every now and then. We ought to rejoice over it. We ought to get excited about it. I'm thankful today that I've been saved by the grace of God. When I think about being saved, there's a lot of things run through my mind. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2:8-9, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm reminded today, as we look into the scripture, of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 45 and verse 22. He said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. In other words, today, he said, come to me, look on me and be saved. Thank God, salvation is supplied. God supplied the need of salvation. In fact, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. He made it simple. Remember when we baptized Carson the other day and we talked about a little bit about that. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, as an adult, except we become as a little child, we shall not enter into heaven. So salvation is supplied by God. It's made simple because it's for everyone. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural birth that God does in our life that changes us. Friend, I want you to know when you get saved, there's a great change that comes over us. So I want to look at several things today that we think about when we think about salvation. First of all, notice salvation is extreme. You said, what do you mean it's extreme? Well, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm going to tell you, I run into a lot of people that I knew that wasn't saved. And I've seen them after they got saved. And sometimes, I have to be honest with you, they still sometimes don't act like they're saved. And I wouldn't be the judge of that. But thank God today I have witnessed people that have had a supernatural change in their life when they got saved and born again by the Spirit of God. I know people that used to curse and drink and run around and do all kind of crazy things, and they got saved and God made them a new creature. I tell you, that's the extreme. I tell you today, to think about what God could do, no matter who we are, God can take a person, no matter who they are, no matter where they've been. Listen, God has the power to change, and salvation's extreme. Salvation is excellent. This speaks of salvation is worth its value. It's unequaled. It's unparalleled. It's unmatched. I tell you, I've never experienced anything like it. I tell you, I've been saved now for many, many years, and I'm grateful. Some 60 years I've been saved. And I'm grateful today that God gave me eternal life, but I've never, ever found anything that comes anywhere close to equaling it or even paralleling it. It's unmatched in all we do. You see, God's salvation is like that in you, for you can't compare him to anything else. Paul referred to God's salvation in Hebrews 2, verse 3. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, but was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You see, salvation is, how do you escape without salvation? You don't escape. That's the unfortunate thing. Salvation is great because of its author. I tell you today, the Bible said that God's the author and the finisher of our faith. It has great accomplishments. Salvation has great authority. Salvation is the very determining factor of who gets to heaven. Somebody said, I'm going to get to heaven, and I tell you, he's going to weigh all my bad, and he's going to weigh all my good, and if I got more good than I got bad, I'm going to get in. Well, friend, if you're depending on that, you're not getting in. You're going to get there only based on the authority of the salvation of God in our life to enter into the presence of him. Salvation is effective. When I say it's effective, it takes care of the problems in our life. I tell you today, I'm not going to tell you don't have problems, but listen to what Paul said in Philippians 1:6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, I'll tell you this. I'm not proud of it. I probably shouldn't tell you. But my daddy used to always tell me that I was bad about starting things and not finishing. And I'm grateful today that after 40-something years that I'm still doing what God called me to do. But when I was a teenager, I was going to do this or I was going to do that. And I'd piddle with it a little while and then I'd get tired of it and I wouldn't fool with it no more. Dad said, you know, you need to finish what you start. But you see, when God called me to preach, I didn't start it. God started. And he said, I'm confident that he's begun in me, that he will bring it to fruition and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Salvation is eternal. Boy, I tell you, life is so short. Boy, I wonder where in the world life went. I mean, it seemed only yesterday that I was in school. It seems only just a few years ago that I was the new pastor at Victory Baptist Church. 34 years ago has gone by. And I wonder, but you know what? One day it's going to all be gone here. But thank God the salvation that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. He said in Hebrews 5:9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Friend, he said that we need to call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to know today, I'm thankful to be saved. I tell you, I want to do for God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to serve God in a lot of ways. But I tell you today, there's people that are walking the streets today that don't have any assurance if they died today they'd go to heaven. And how sad it is. But I can tell you today, by the grace of God, I've been saved, I've been born again, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and God did something in my life. It was extreme. It was extraordinary. I can't describe it. I can't explain it. All I know is God changed my life, and I have salvation in him. The next thing I want you to notice with me is I want you would consider with me that I'm thankful for the Scriptures. Friend, I'll tell you what, this book ought not be treated just like any other book. It ought not to be a book that's thrown on the dash of your car or up behind the back seat of the car for the sun to bleach out and curl the edges. This book ought to be treated with great respect and authority. We ought to understand today that this is not just any book. This is not just some author that penned this book and gave it to us to help us along the way. This is God-breathed, God-inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And there ain't a single person in this building that would know how to be saved apart from the Word of God. You can't get saved apart from the Word of God. I'm not saying somebody's got to have a Bible and show you. If you'll listen and believe what they say, many people can quote enough Scripture for people to know what they need to do. But I'm telling you, they have to quote the Scripture. And I'm thankful. Aren't you glad today that we can come to the house of God and freely open the Word of God and expound the Word of God and talk about the things of God? And God helps us to grow in the things of God. I thank God for the Word of God because it's precious to me. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He said in Psalm 126, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." I'm thankful today because the Word of God is precious to me. I'm thankful today because the Word of God has been preserved for you and me. The Bible said in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And I want you to know today God's word is forever settled. It's not going to change. If you don't believe that, go read the end of the book. Go read the end of Revelation. The Bible said, "Woe unto any man that adds to or takes away." God has given us the complete, inspired Word of God. We don't need anybody else to give us any additions to it. They may write their opinion and they may tell their thoughts, but friend, we have in our hand, if we have the Bible that God has given to us, and I'm grateful for this old King James Bible that I use, and I'm grateful today that God has given me everything in its entirety that I need, and He's preserved it down through the ages. He said in Mark 13:31, "Heaven and earth shall pass away," but He said, "My words shall not pass away." I'm glad God doesn't change with the winds of time. I'm glad that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful today because of the preservation of the Scripture. And I'm thankful today because of the purity of the Scripture. In Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. "As silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Do you know, no matter how much they try to take the Word of God away from us, they never will. Because the Word of God's going to always stand. If you never read Corey Ten Boom's book, you ought to read it. And you'd be interested to know that many people in prison camps used to, if they got a copy of the Word of God, they'd tear the pages out. You say, "Well, that's anti-religious to do that." Not when that's all you got and you're just passing them around so that everybody can read them when they can. And I'm going to tell you, even in those days, God provided them with strength from the Word of God. It's pure, it's preserved. Notice its power. Romans 10:17. "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Listen to me. I believe, I know we can witness to people and they get saved. But I tell you, you know what that is? That's hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's when we come to church, we preach the Word of God. We have services, we're going to open the Bible and share with you what the Bible said. Hebrews 11:3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear." In 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Friend, I tell you today, I'm glad I'm saved. But I'm glad I had the Scriptures to tell me how to get saved. And I'm glad I got the Scriptures so I can tell others how to get saved. And I'm glad today to know what the Bible does and what God does in our life. I'm telling you today, whether you realize it or not, that's a lot to be thankful for. Now, I'm thankful for a bunch of other things. I'm thankful for the clothes I wear and the car I drive and the house I live in. Those are all wonderful things. But you can have all those things and still die and spend eternity in hell, separated from God. And I'm grateful for the Word of God. And by the way, I'm thankful for preachers that preach the Word of God, because I wouldn't be here today if it was not preachers that stood faithful and true to this book. And they preached to me, and the Bible said it became like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the sunder of the soul and the spirit. I'm grateful today for my salvation. I'm grateful today for the Scriptures. But thirdly today, I'm thankful for the sanctuary. I thank God for the house of God. I think we somehow have lost the desire that we ought to have for the house of God. Let me bring you a little bit closer. I'm thankful for Victory Baptist Church. I thank God today for this church. I love this church. I love the people of this church. I'm grateful today that God allows us to come together, assemble. Brother Leek made a statement this morning. I thought it was great. He walked in and everybody, he was shaking hands with everybody. And he said, isn't it, I'm not sure I'm going to quote this right, Brother Leek, but it was something, he said, isn't it interesting? He said, every time we show up at church, we act like we're seeing each other for the first time, like we hadn't seen each other in a long time. That's the way it ought to be, because there ought to be a bond, something that draws our spirits together. We're family. And it ought to be a joy when we see one another. Today, more is said about against the church than there is of the church. I tell you, today people want to talk about the church. Some say, well, I would come, but it's full of a bunch of hypocrites. Some say the church has become a social organization. I'm not sure. That's not always in the case, but by the grace of God, I don't want Victory Baptist Church to fall into that trap. Some say the church no longer portrays the love of Christ, and he'll only portray the love of Christ through you and I who have been saved and born again by the Spirit of God. There's some that there's been a great forsaking of the assembly in the past decades, and I'll be honest with you today, a great deal of people don't go to church anymore. It's not their priority. It's other things that come before that. And so we find today that the majority of unchurched people are out because simply they don't love the church like they once did. My, what a blessing it is to come to the house of God, to fellowship with God's people and to hear the Word of God. They say that church attendance is at an all-time low. And more churches and professing Christians than ever, but all-time attendance is at all-time low. The faithful few that make up the nucleus of the church have become fewer in number, especially on Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's one thing I can say, and I'm grateful. We don't have as many on Sunday night and Wednesday night as we do on Sunday morning, but I tell you, we have a pretty good percentage, and I'm grateful for people that realize the importance of it. I love this church because it's a place that God loves. In Ephesians 5:25, you know what he said? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to tell you today, any man that loves his wife like he ought to love his wife, they're going to have a good relationship. If he loves her like Christ loved the church, brother, she will be one of the most loved people that ever walked on the face of the earth. And I love this church because God loves this church. He loved it and gave himself for it. I love the church because it's a place of worship. This is one of my favorite verses. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward the holy temple. You know what we've lost? We've lost fear. We have no fear of God anymore. The Bible said, in the multitude of mercy and in thy fear. The reason I'm coming is not that God wants us to fear him, that we cower down, but he wants us to fear him and understand he means business about what he says and what he does. And he said, and in thy fear, I will worship. Friend, I tell you today, I love the church, and you know, nobody has to make me come. I'm grateful today that I'm able to get up and be here. But I tell you, I have fear in my heart toward an almighty God who commands me to be faithful. I love this church because it's a place of preaching and where the Word of God is taught. In 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long that thou mayest know. Now listen to this. He said, but if I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Here's what the, I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm giving you, everything I'm giving you today is straight from the Scripture. This is a place of preaching and teaching God's Word. And friend, if somebody says all along that God has blessed them and they've been helped through the preaching ministry of Victory Baptist Church, then to God be the glory. But that's what it's all about. And I'm not here today to entertain you. We're here today to preach and to teach the Word of God. I love the church because it's a place where God's people gather. In Psalm 55, verse 14, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. I'm going to tell you, I believe some of the greatest people in the world are in church. Boy, to go there and to be with them is where people gather. I love the church because it's a place where sinners are both sought and loved. In Luke 14, 23, and the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. In Matthew 9, verse 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Friend, I tell you, I don't think we need to love sin, but we need to love the sinner. And I tell you, I expect God's people to be here, but I get excited when lost people get here too, because they've come to the place they can get help. I love the church because it's God's instrument of world evangelism. I love the church because that's where I heard the true gospel preached. I was gloriously and eternally saved. I'm grateful today. The Bible said in Luke 18, 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but he smote himself upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the one that exalted himself, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I love the church. I love the church. I love this church. I love the church God's given. I love the church because it's a place of comfort and spiritual joy. Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hate to say it, but I'm afraid there's a lot of people Sunday morning. The alarm goes off and they say, oh no, it's Sunday again. We got to go to church. Friend, that's not being very thankful. I'll tell you what, Saturday night ought to bring excitement, knowing that we're going to the house of God. I remember growing up in a home where, and I've told this before, but my mother, she spent, and my dad too, they taught Sunday school or whatever they did. They spent time preparing. But on Saturday night, they got their tithe ready. They got their envelopes ready. Everything was ready. And we went to church. We went to church for comfort and spiritual joy among God's people. I love the church because it's an encouragement filling station. Now, not too many filling stations and encouragement today with the cost of gas. But when you come to the house of God, isn't it good to just be able to hear the Word of God and be encouraged and strengthened. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'll not read all the scripture I have for it, but I love the church because to me, I don't think it compares to being. But if there's any place close to heaven on earth, it's got to be in a godly church where people sing the praises of God. where the word of God is preached without fear, without favor, and the truth is given in order that it might change people's lives. The psalmist said, now this is loving the church. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He said, if I could just go and hold the door open. I thank God today for the message of the church. I thank God today for the members of the church. I thank God today for the master of the church. I thank God today for the mission of the church. I thank God today for the ministry of the church. It was through God's ministry that many of us were saved by the grace of God. And He changed our life and He encouraged us and strengthened us. And it brought about an excitement. I think of this verse. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Why did it need to be restored? Because they had lost it. And I'm afraid a lot of people's lost the joy of their salvation. Just don't seem to be the excitement they used to be. Why, boy, when things were going good and people was getting saved and bus was running, we was all excited. But now we just seem, and I blame a lot of it on COVID. I think it just kind of lulled us to sleep. And I'm not saying, I mean, we had to do what we had to do. And it was a very bad thing. But I hope the excitement and thankfulness can return into our lives. And then lastly, consider that I'm thankful for the Savior. We find in verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. How could we ever thank Him for all the things that He's done for us this morning? I'm so glad today that God's given us His salvation. Glad He's given us His Scripture. I'm glad He's given us His sanctuary. But I'm thankful most of all for my Savior that gave Himself for me. Jesus' unconditional love. But God commendeth His love toward me. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful for His pursuit. In Luke 19, verse 10, He said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm thankful for His propitiation. Just a big word for our substitute. He said in Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In 1 John 2:2, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In 1 John 4:10, here is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sin. I'm glad today for God's passion, for His pursuit, for His propitiation, but I'm even more thankful today for His promise. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here's the question. Are you thankful for these things today? I hope you are, but if you're not, you said, well, I am. No, don't just say you are. If you are, you prove it. And I tell you today, honestly, I would say it's not going to be much of a Thanksgiving if we're not thankful for these things that I've mentioned this morning. And have you ever thought about being outside of the will of God because you did not give thanks? Can we this Thanksgiving just thank God? We can never thank Him enough, but just thank God for what He's provided for us as a child of God. We're having one baby our home. And all of a sudden, God's things will become preeminent. They will come before everything else. We put Him in the proper place that He deserves. I hope this Thanksgiving that He sees Christ in our mind, and in our hearts, and in our lives.